It was a Roman practice that if somebody, a citizen, appealed to the emperor, he went to the emperor. And there was about once a week, for a few hours, the emperor would sit in judgment and judge these cases to show how wise he was, if he was wise, and to show what power he had. Whatever he decreed, yeah, you'll die, you'll live. So it was a kind of an ego thing too. And that balustrade before whom the accused stood is still there on the top of the Palatine Hill. But it was, on the other hand, it was a way for people who were going to be railroaded into a prison sentence or an execution to appeal. It was another way, which was part of the Roman juridical genius. Now the psalm is Psalm 103, which is all about God's forgiveness. Now, usually the psalm picks up something from the reading and leads us into the psalm, right? Today, it just leads us into the psalm. Here's Jesus forgiving Peter, acting out that forgiveness, and placing him at the head of the church. On Pentecost Day, 2 days from now, it's Peter who preaches. Paul, with all his graces, and the founder of the evangelized church, submitted himself to Peter. This is remarkable. The genius of our Lord. Pick one person. Why? You can always fight over a document. You know, this is our constitution. This is the way we all sign it. And then we can fight over it. But a person, no. So the church is always headed up by a human being, by a person. Now, what the text is showing us is what, for that position, which is the highest in the church, or for any other position of authority, what is the prime requisite? Love Jesus. That's, if you're good at finances, that'll help. If you can preach, that'll help. But the primary goal, the primary requisite for anybody in authority of the church is, do you love me? St. Thomas has quite an interesting commentary on this, going through all of these stages. Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Now you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And then Peter denies him three times. And Jesus does not give up on him. He can read hearts. He's forgiven him. Peter knows it. And so he's giving Peter a chance to profess that faith. Because that's the only way to have authority in the church. Love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you'll be yielding to him. And then you'll love the brethren and risk your life for them. Because one of the requisites of a shepherd is that he lay down his life for his sheep. And so, he said to Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter answered him, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, giving him a chance to undo the three denials. You see? Do you love me? Now Peter was distressed that he said to him a third time, do you love me? So he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. That's right, Peter. But I wanted you to have the privilege of undoing what you did. I want you to say that you love me. So, while there are many qualities required for leadership at any level in the church, if that person does not love Jesus, it's not going to work. It's that simple. So you see, when we pray for the bishops, for instance, and the priests, you see, we have to be praying that they will love Jesus. Because if they love Jesus, they'll seek his face. They'll pray. They'll be with him. They'll be sensitive to him. And he can tell them what to do. And he will. And he will. So you see, if you love Jesus, you pray. Because you love him. You want to be in touch with him. You want to learn from him. It's not, you got to pray. Yeah, you got to pray. But you got to pray because you got to love. You see, this is true of anybody in authority anywhere in the church. Love Jesus. You see. Then, after that, we have this prophecy of Jesus. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Now he said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. That was great glory to God. And he finished his life and set an example for all his successors, many of whom, especially the early ones, were killed. Linus, Cletus, Sistus, Cornelius, Cyprian, all the people we name in the first canon, that whole list are mostly martyred popes. And so that's why we commemorate them. You see, that's going to glorify God. Love. Well, how do we get love? You remember once when I was living up in Madonna House and there was this old Russian man there. And I guess he gave a little talk or something. And he had a big beard. He was sort of a Staretz kind of a fellow, you know. So one of the youngsters said, "Well, how do you learn to love God?" And he looked and he said, "Who teaches birds to sing? It's in you. Let God work it, you know. Let it come to fruition." Well, how do you do that? You hang around with God. You pray. You listen to God. You see? When he had said all this, for the last time, he says, "Feed my sheep." No. As he concludes this installation of the Pope, what's the last thing he tells him? "Follow me. You walk right behind me. Whatever I do, you do. All the way to the cross. Follow me." So, as you know, we only have one other, and it'll be this famous debate, you know. The last verses of the Gospel of John. It's all about, what if I want him to remain until I come? What is that to you? Now, when the buzz went around, he's not going to die until Jesus comes back. So they expected him in 10 or 20 years. And then they were mystified when that didn't happen. And so the last lines of John's Gospel we have for tomorrow, that's the last preparation the church gives us liturgically for Pentecost. But if at that time, during that day tomorrow, we pray and fast and get ready, then it just won't be a liturgy. It'll be a Pentecost.